God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In his famous poem, on the occasion of Queen Victoria's Diamond Jubilee, seemingly at the pinnacle of British imperial power, Rudyard Kipling offered a liturgical recessional in words that are quite familiar to all of us. The tumult and the shouting die, the captains and the king depart. Still stands thine ancient sacrifice, an humble and a contrite heart. Lord God of hosts, be with us yet, lest we forget, lest we forget. Words like those have particular meaning for us in the Lutheran Church in this festival year, in which we commemorate the anniversaries of the Augsburg Confession, written in 1530, and of the Book of Concord, published 50 years later, 1580. Particularly as we begin this 142nd school year at Concordia Seminary, and as we dedicate this year in this place to the confessional theme, We Believe, Teach, and Confess, it is good that on this evening we think of those words of Kipling and his plea, lest we forget, lest we forget. For forgetting is a way of life, especially in matters like this. We have only to look about us in the world to realize that those great truths, those great doxological echoes that we have just praised God in our hymns, are all too faint in this world in which we live and in which we propose to carry out our ministries on behalf of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lest we forget, lest we forget. But there are also wrong ways of remembering, and they are before us this evening and this year too. There is a kind of remembering that focuses on the past in order to escape the present, or even to avoid the future. Or there is the kind of remembering that is filled with pride over one's own accomplishments, and even a kind of remembering that leads to despair over one's failures. As we begin this year, joining brothers and sisters all over the world in commemorating our great confessional anniversaries and dedicating our life and work in this community of faith and learning to the great confessional truths of our heritage, may God the Holy Spirit grant us to remember, but to remember in a way that is in keeping with God's own word. To that end, let us focus our attention this evening on the word of God written in Psalm 119, verse 46. I will also speak of thy testimonies before kings and shall not be put to shame. You may recognize those words as the words that have served as the motto of the Augsburg Confession ever since the first official printing of it in 1531. Those words can be traced to two letters written by Dr. Martin Luther on the 6th of July in 1530, one of them to Conrad Cordatus, a friend back home in Wittenberg, and another to the Archbishop of Mainz. And in both letters, Luther's quotation of Psalm 119:46 is very simple, and his meaning is very clear. I will speak of thy testimonies before kings seemed particularly fitting in those days, for just 11 days earlier, Lutherans at Augsburg had stood before the Emperor of the Holy Roman Empire, Charles V, and had indeed spoken God's testimonies in the presence of kings. But Luther's point was not only to focus on the heroic act of confession. His words also call attention to the substance of all Christian confession, that it deals with thy testimonies and not man's. And especially Luther wanted to encourage the people in his church in Germany many, many years ago that these words are also words of promise, for he reminded his readers that the same God who said, "I will speak of thy testimonies before kings," also promises that we will not be put to shame. Let us then this evening, teachers, students, friends of theological education at this place, begin this school year celebrating our great confessional themes and dedicating this year and our whole lives to believing and teaching and confessing, and using these words of the psalmist from Psalm 119 as our basis, as they draw our attention to the substance, the act, and the promise of Christian confession. The substance of Christian confession is very clear from these words. I will speak of thy testimonies. In a day and age in which the speaking of churches and of pastors and of theological students is so often about something else and drawn from other sources of wisdom, it's very important for us in this place, in this hour, to rededicate ourselves to the same spirit of confessing that we find in the Augsburg Confession, in the Book of Psalms, and in fact, throughout the truly Christian heritage of the Church. It is of the testimonies of God that true theology is based upon. And as you look at the words of Psalm 119, some of which we spoke as our dialogue in this service, you note how the psalmist constantly calls attention to the law of the Lord, or the ordinances of God, or the promises of God, or the testimonies of God, or the word which is a lamp to our feet, to the precepts of God. And again, the reference is to singing and praising and confessing the word or testimonies of God. That's the spirit that breathes throughout our entire Lutheran confessional corpus. That's what it really means in the substance of Christian confession. When Luther focused these words, and as we focus upon them this evening, when the formula of Concord stated about itself that we have made the Augsburg Confession a symbol of our own time, the formula is quick to point out that this we have done not because this confession was prepared by our own theologians, but because it is taken from the Word of God and totally and solidly grounded therein. And that is still the claim of all good, sound Christian theology. It is drawn from and based upon the testimonies of God Himself. And when that is done, we find something very remarkable taking place in our theology and in our confession. For drawing from God's testimonies leads one to confess God Himself in His mighty and gracious acts for the redemption of man. If one were to ask in a few words what God's testimonies are all about, and why Luther and our fathers and we this evening and this year wish to base our learning and our teaching and our confessing upon God's testimonies, the answer is simply that those testimonies continue to point us and all men to Him who is alone the hope of the world, the hope of the Church, the center, the content of all theology, Jesus Christ Himself. One has only to look at the opening articles of the Augsburg Confession, which we commemorate, to see how clearly and candidly and forthrightly our fathers note that the substance of all of God's testimonies is on the one Christ, true God and true man, who was truly born, suffered, was crucified, dead, and was buried in order to be a sacrifice for our sin, and not only for our original sin, but for all other sins, and to propitiate God's wrath. Or again, those words from Article 4. It is taught among us that we cannot obtain forgiveness of sin and righteousness before God by our own merits, works, or satisfactions, but that we receive forgiveness of sin and become righteous before God by grace for Christ's sake through faith, when we believe that Christ suffered for us and that for His sake our sin is forgiven and righteousness and eternal life are given to us. What remarkable words those are, for they summarize the heart and core and content of all truly Christian theology. Yes, we will speak of thy testimonies. For the substance of Christian confession is drawn from the words of God in order that it might exalt and clearly proclaim the Christ of the Scriptures, the Christ who is not only your hope and mine, but the hope of the entire world, whose life and death and resurrection was truly a life and death and resurrection for each one of us. It's a message that constantly serves us and serves the church. And so we proclaim with the psalmist that we too will declare thy testimonies. But these words of Psalm 119, as Luther himself was quick to note in his use of it, call attention not only to this great substance of true Christian confession, but call attention as well to the act of confessing. In fact, the historians have demonstrated that throughout a great part of the 16th century, the word Augsburg Confession was a reference more to an act of confessing than to the document itself. For indeed, it was a courageous act, performed not only by Lutheran theologians and pastors, but by those wonderful staunch laymen who supported them, those princes who stood up and confessed before the emperor himself. And these words call attention to that kind of courage on behalf of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I will speak of thy testimonies even before kings. No need to fear, for God himself is the giver of such confessional courage and strength. And these words had particular meaning for the 16th century fathers of the church. But brothers and sisters in Christ, they have particular meaning for us today too. The act of confessing the testimonies of God which point to Jesus Christ and his hope for all mankind is certainly the act of all theologians, whether teachers or learners. It's the act of confessing that is so desperately needed in this day and age. I will speak are words that are yours and mine as well. For the teacher who stands in his classroom this year at Concordia Seminary, and for the student who sits with him, learning the testimonies of God. This act of confessing God's testimonies about Jesus Christ is an act to which we also dedicate ourselves this year. It's an act to which we dedicate our ministries. It may well be that you and I will never have the opportunity to stand before a king or a president or an emperor and to confess the testimonies of God. But it really takes just as much boldness, just as much courage, just as much clarity in many respects for the average pastor to speak God's word of law to the sinner who needs it, and to speak God's word of comfort and love and forgiveness in the gospel to all of us who need it and need it daily. I will speak, and I will speak of the testimonies of God even before kings. May that be your pledge and your commitment as you teach and as you learn, and especially, Tom and Richard, as you begin your careers at Concordia Seminary, a new phase of your ministry for God's people. May you this evening also dedicate your ministries at this place to this kind of confessional act of speaking God's testimonies in Jesus Christ before kings, but also before seminary students. And then finally, let us note these words are words of promise. And that's what Luther particularly wanted to assure his readers of, as he wrote in July 1530, that the same God who had inspired David to sing these words was a God who, in the gospel we read from the lectern before, promised that he would support and bless those who confess his name before men. The psalmist said it simply, I shall not be put to shame. We can look back over the history of Lutheranism since the Reformation, whether 400 years to the formula of Concord and the book that published it, or even farther to the Augsburg Confession itself, and certainly see how God has again and again blessed this church, how he has indeed not put us to shame, that those wonderful fathers of ours, whose leadership, whose confession we commemorate, and whose theology we seek to learn in order to pass it on to others, that God richly and truly blessed them, they were not put to shame. But that same promise is your promise and my promise in every day of our life. As we study theology, as we teach theology, as we communicate God's law and communicate God's gospel, as we live in a community among one another as Christ's people in this place, and as we move out from this community into other communities of faith and communities that don't know Jesus Christ, that wonderful promise is always there. Not because we're such good confessors, not because of the courage of our confessional act, but because of him whom we confess, Jesus Christ and him crucified. Our dependence upon him, and rather his relationship to us, is the source and power and strength of God's continuing power and blessing upon each one of us. And those words are important for us too as we begin this school year, for there will be days of discouragement, days of doubt and anxiety. We will wonder about the careers we have chosen for ourselves, and at times it will seem as though there is no blessing at all. But let us this evening and this school year, as we dedicate our lives again to this great confessional heritage summarized so beautifully in this psalm, remember that its dominant note is a word of promise, that the same God who sent his Son to live and die and rise again for you and for all mankind is a God who even now says to you, you will not be put to shame. You will have hope, forgiveness, life, power, strength, meaning, all of the blessings that God gives his children are yours. Isn't that a wonderful thing? And isn't it indeed an act of God's undeserved grace that he has brought us together here to praise him with our lives and our studies and our gifts in this way? When the fathers of the Lutheran Church concluded the Formula of Concord many, many years ago, listen to the strong way in which they echoed this testimony of God and the way in which they dedicated their lives and ministries to his service. This is the way that great confession ends. In the presence of God and of all Christendom, among both our contemporaries and our posterity, we wish to have testified that the present explanation, and none other, is our teaching, belief, and confession, in which by God's grace we shall appear with intrepid hearts before the judgment seat of Jesus Christ, and for which we shall give an account. Nor shall we speak or write anything, privately or publicly, contrary to this confession, but we intend by God's grace to abide in it. May those words and sentiments be ours, teachers and students alike, this year and throughout our ministries. For our confession of Jesus Christ, like that of our fathers, has as its substance the testimonies of God himself rather than our own, and those testimonies are testimonies of God's unending grace, mercy, and forgiveness for us and all mankind. Let us, motivated by Jesus Christ and his undeserved love, engage in acts of confession again and again and again. In fact, see our whole ministries really as nothing other than the confession of Jesus Christ. And do it all with the constant assurance that the God of all grace and glory, the God whom we confess, is the God who promises you will not be put to shame. Let us speak the words of our text together as our pledge at this time. I will also speak of thy testimonies before kings and shall not be put to shame. Amen.